Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. It never ceases to amaze me when I line up four segments, how much the four are interconnected, even though I didn't necessarily mindfully do it. And particularly when Annika, our previous guest, said she started her journey by trying to answer a question from a coach that says, what is the dream for your life? And indeed, we've got a gentleman here in the studio, and he works very hard to help job seekers really go after that dream job. So, John Shattuck, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's a real pleasure. John spent over 30 years with IBM. He relocated 12 times as he managed hardware and software computer service and support organizations throughout the United States. He has a PhD in management, and he also spent several years teaching business process reengineering and management development seminars within IBM, as well as for the American Management Association. Today, John is very active supporting and participating in programs for white-collar job seekers programs in Tucson, Atlanta, and Spokane. He's contributed to the community through St. Andrew's Church, Pima County Library, Interfaith Community Services, the Mature Worker Connection, and Catalina Foothills Community Church. He has a definable, repeatable, predictable job process, and it's based on proven techniques that really can improve candidates' efficiency and effectiveness to find that job of their choice. By the way, when perhaps no one appears to be hiring. And John can take to his credit, approximately 40% of the attendees who go to his free workshops have already become employed so far. John, in fact, is facilitating a series of 12 free workshops that are sponsored by the University of Phoenix right now. They're held every other Wednesday evening from 6 to 8 at the campus near the Williams Center. That's near Broadway and Craycroft. We'll hear a little bit more of that, I'm sure, throughout the area. And, in fact, you can look at Facebook for Tucson Job Seekers. Well, John, thank you so much for where you find yourself at this phase of your life, giving back and helping others.
Well, it's a real pleasure.
So what do you think the magic that needs to unfold for people? I saw you smiling when I was having one of our earlier segments today, that Cheryl Lambert, when she talked about helping those who were coming out from being incarcerated, figuring out the stories that they want to tell.
Yeah, most people don't have a good perspective of how to sell themselves. And so, like Cheryl was saying, that with these folks that have been coming out of prison, they didn't have good stories. Well, most of the folks that I talk with, they have good stories, but they don't know how to present themselves. They don't know how to articulate it. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to identify achievements and very specific words that can say, I did this, this percent improvement, these numbers. And I use a point guard that I use with Sean Miller, and said that he was looking for a point guard. Well, we get a lot of people saying, I can dribble, I can pass, I can rebound, and I can assist. Would you hire me? And probably not. But then we talk about, I do five assists a game with one turnover. I do five rebounds. I've scored 20 points. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so it's the same player, but what they've done, they've identified achievements and how to resolve the employer's problem. And that's what people have a very difficult time to do.
And, you know, we have to kind of wonder why that is, why we can't recognize the possibility. And I think part of it is, particularly if job seekers have been in the same organization for a long time or the same industry, they don't recognize there's an opportunity to translate what they've done, but they have to put in a language that others can understand.
Exactly. Well, and every employee that has a job opening has a problem that they need to fill. And so what the challenge is for the job seeker is identify what that problem is, and then to clearly demonstrate that they can resolve that problem, whether it's increasing revenue, reducing costs, reduce cycle time, increase productivity in the office. A lot of administrative people, they can't articulate the savings that they make. You know, maybe it's I've talked to several administrative folks that have taken workload off of salespeople.
You betcha.
And they have
usually
10,
important.
Yeah, they have 10 salespeople in the office, and they've saved them 1 hour a week. Well, you know, that adds up so that the salespeople can have more face-to-face time, and the job seekers just don't think like that.
And so having some a coach in that regard, the training like you offer them, is really important. John, how is it you came to parlay from your 30 years working inside of IBM then to do the work in the job-seeking realm? How'd that come about?
Well, I retired, in 1993.
Supposedly retired.
From IBM.
Supposedly retired.
In Atlanta. And so I started my job search there, and I didn't understand the process. I didn't understand what was going on, because I'd been with IBM all the time.
Sure.
So one of my friends said, hey, you ought to come to this meeting. So I went to a meeting in a bar at 7:30 in the morning, from 7:30 to 9:30, and it was 70 men that were looking for jobs. And so I got started with them, and I used to teach with IBM, so they asked me to help facilitate some of the programs. So I got started with that, and it was I got a lot of satisfaction out of it, and so I started with them, and then I helped the job seekers in Atlanta for several years, and then when I came to Tucson, I started a little organization here, and I moved to Spokane, Washington, and it started it there. What I found was there was not much availability for white-collar workers. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of support for the blue-collar workers, you know, the skilled.
The crafts and the trades, yes.
Exactly, but not much for white-collars. So that's what I kind of focused on in my efforts, and it seems to be working fairly well.
Although I suspect that, quite honestly, though, a lot of the precepts that you've come about and honed in on equally apply, regardless of where people are, the age or stage or type of employment that they're looking for. But certainly, you know, what rings true, if you say the words efficient and effective, because I think that's what a lot of job seekers in this day and age, particularly with the advent of the mystery posting process, that they're stuck. They're absolutely stuck. And frozen.
Right. And they don't get a lot of feedback. They submit, you know, 100 resumes of a week or a month or whatever, and they don't get a lot of feedback. But, well, the job search process has changed so much. And one of the first things I ask them is, what percent of the time do they spend on the computer doing job searches on Monster and Indeed and these things versus going out meeting people? And it's most of the folks spend about 80% of the time on the computer, you know, looking at Monster and Indeed, Simply Hired, Dice, and these
sure.
types. So then I said, I asked them about, do they know that 80% of the jobs that are not advertised? And that's a big clue for them. So then it's like, okay, where are you spending your time? You're spending 80% of your time looking for 20% of the jobs.
Exactly, yeah.
And so are many other candidates there. So the jobs that are advertised, there's a lot of competition there, but they're easy to find. But the other 80%, the jobs are not advertised. There's not a lot of competition, so they're difficult to find. But you're more apt to get hired.
And so that term "difficult to find" means that it really takes the opportunity to leverage a personal relationship with, in some way, some form, either directly with a hiring leader or someone who advises them, to get an understanding of what their challenges are and how then you might fit to bring that forward.
Exactly. And those are some of the, what I try to do is to teach them the tools to use. I kind of make an analogy to building a house. If you have a hammer and that's the only tool you know, everything looks like a nail.
It does.
So that's what you use. So we try to teach them a variety of tools, you know, LinkedIn and the Tag Crowd, Manta. There's a super tool that was the library just came up with. It's called Reference USA, and it's really a very powerful tool. You know, you can use it to find out businesses, who the key executives are in the business. You can look at jobs, and you can look at organizational charts, so that you can start looking at people within the organization to make a contact with.
Well, and actually that's all the kind of homework you'd like to have at your fingertips when you approach that. John, we had mentioned that you're in the midst now of a workshop series at the University of Phoenix. What's that all about?
Well, I was working with Greg Johnson, who's the director of the University of Phoenix, several campuses, and we talked about putting together a workshop, a series of workshops, which starts off with, did you know that 80% of the jobs are not advertised? And it goes through the job search process. What I found was that there was a lot of information available about resumes, about LinkedIn, about networking, but it's like a puzzle, and no one has put the puzzle together. So to say, here are 15 or 20 steps you need to go through in order to get your job search more efficient and more effective. It's like trying to build a house without a plan. So you know you have to do certain things. Well, I put a flow chart together. You know, I'm a process-oriented guy from IBM, and so I look at processes that are definable, repeatable, and predictable. So a lot of the research I did, they didn't have a process. They just would say, okay, here's a good thing to do about resumes. You ought to network. You ought to do this. You know, so I put together this flow chart, which takes you through the process. And it's, you know, it's pretty interesting. It's like, are you getting interviews? Yes or no?
Right.
If no, then you have to do certain things.
Do something different. Yeah.
Right. Have you identified your target job? Do you really need to do that? Your target job, your target company, and then target individuals within the company, and then be proactive. And there are techniques you can do to be proactive. I talk about sending out emails to all your email contacts to say, I've got a target company and these are my individuals. Who do you know in this company that you could hook me up with that we could do an informational interview? And many folks don't know what an informational interview is, and so they don't use that tool.
Right. And in fact, you know, an informational interview or an informational conversation, which is all about really building a relationship with someone so you can get at then those jobs that aren't advertised.
Exactly.
Or in fact, they may even not yet even emerged, but as they do, they could in the context of you speaking.
Right. And we talk about the hidden job market being that there's no job available at the company. There is a job that in the future that this executive may know about, or there's a job available now that they just haven't advertised yet, and some of the employees may know. So this is why you would want to go to a company, one of your target companies, and talk to them face-to-face. Now, you don't want to ask them for a job, but we use a little acronym called AIR. You want their advice, you want some information, and then at the end you want a referral. And so then they have talked to you face to face. They know of you. So if a job does come up in the next month or so, they can say, "Oh, look, I talked to Sean last week, or you know, last month, and he would be a good candidate." So, 1 out of 12 people that do informational interviews get a job offer, and I think that's, you know, the folks don't know that, but 1 out of 500 or 1,000 that submit their resumes.
Exactly, even get the interview phase.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, that's
so
right. Well, and I think, again, that informational interview is also about you co-creating the possibility when you're with that prospect, whether it be for something within their firm or something that they could refer them to.
Exactly.
Yeah. John, the fact that you did this work with job seekers first in Atlanta and then in Spokane and Tucson and so on, any differences between the three geographies, or is it pretty much a tried and true process you found has worked and matured?
No, the process is about the same. You know, clearly identify your target, you know, your job description. You use the various tools, and then you go out and you start making these contacts, you know, through your friends and through your LinkedIn. You know, the job market is much larger in Atlanta.
There is,
but
yeah.
Spokane, it was really small. But it was the same process, you know.
And how are you finding, as you've worked with some job seekers, as they've looked at switching from the for-profit world to the not-for-profit world? Because I know there's certainly our town here at Tucson, a lot of wonderful organizations searching for committed talent to participate.
Right. Well, one of your guests earlier, Cheryl, was talking about, you know, what do you like to do? What do you love to do? Well, I use an example. I have a chart that I have the folks fill out, and it's like, what do you want to do? What do you love to do? And then you circle the items that are in both of those columns, and then you put them in Indeed as a job description.
Mm-hmm, right. You can write your own job description.
Exactly. Yeah. So then you show up, and it shows you jobs that you might be interested in and also companies. So the transition from, you know, from nonprofit or the real world is it's not easy, but, you get transferable skills and you start focusing on different organizations.
That's right.
Then
we're speaking with John Shattuck, and he's involved with the University of Phoenix right now, currently doing a series of free workshops. So those of you who might be interested, or those you can refer to with John, you can learn more about what he does on Facebook by looking at Tucson Job Seekers, and also at the University of Phoenix. It's phoenix.edu, and Megan Pickering is the contact there. She's a student success coach. Their number is 520-239-5264. John, how do you think you've changed the most? Have you helped others cope with change? It's been a number of years since you retired from IBM, but where do you think your work now in helping others in the job-seeking world has really impacted you?
Well, I get a lot of satisfaction out of it, and so I think a lot of the times I was looking, with 31 years with IBM, you kind of look inside and you're caught up in your own little world. And, as I retired and then I started looking at other people, I just get caught up in their job search and understands a lot better about their stories and how can I help? How can I help them with their resume? What kind of things can I do to move them in a positive sense? Some of them are very, very sad stories. I mean, I've done some research about the homeless, people living in their cars. I mean, it's like really, really bad, and my heart goes out to these folks. And so whatever I can do to move them in a more positive direction, that's what I'm trying to do.
That's great. Well, your affiliation then through the University of Phoenix, another key role for any of us to think about, regardless of where you are in your career journey, is the prospect of continuing education and staying fresh and being contemporary. So do you find that as you work with some job seekers, too, that perhaps they've got things in their repertoire they never realized that they could present, let alone they might have gaps that they need to go address?
Oh, sure. We talk about that, and we talk about what's available at the University of Phoenix and what's available at some of the other organizations. Okay. I've talked to a lot of college students. We travel a lot, and University of Louisville, University of Kentucky, Appalachian State, Morehead. And even on the golf course, when they team me up with
right.
one of these, what I call them, flat bellies, the young 25 people that don't have a little pot belly like me. But I ask them, what are they up to? What do they do? And they say they're in a job search. And I say, well, do you have any business cards? And they say, no, I don't have a business. So, just a basic. And these folks have just graduated or in school. And I say, do you have a business card? No, I don't have a business card. Well, do you know about LinkedIn? No, I don't know about LinkedIn. You read in the papers, like 50% of the college students are underemployed. Almost 60% are moving back with their parents.
Yeah.
And they haven't really got a good foundation from their freshman to, sophomore, junior, and senior years on being prepared for the job, once they graduate. They just think they're going to graduate with a liberal arts or archaeology degree, and they're going to get a job right away, and it's not happening, so.
And so that, again, these principles really transcend, as we said earlier, any age or stage.
Exactly. Yeah.
The process that you've laid out, John, that you make so richly available through your workshops, any major changes you've made, do you feel, in the last few years? I mean, certainly the advent of social media is a big one.
Yeah, well,
which actually can be a red herring if you're not careful.
Exactly.
It could be a lot of time that is wasted.
Right. But I think it's like 2009, about 6% of the companies and recruiters were using social media to find candidates. In 2010, it's up to 85%, and now it's probably over 90%. Mm-hmm. So most of the folks don't use the social media through LinkedIn and Facebook and things like that to find jobs. And like you were saying, that 30% of the candidates are rejected because what they
have
posted on Facebook or some of the pictures.
At least 30%.
Exactly.
At least 30%.
Exactly.
So that this is something about how we all need to manage our online presence, not just create it.
Exactly. And so if most of the folks that I've talked with and come to our sessions haven't been looking for the job in the last 5 years. So they don't know about LinkedIn. They don't know about the Facebook and things like that. And so that's another session that we talk about is about, you know, how to have online and offline a job search and how to be proactive in their job search.
Right. And it still, though, comes down to that face-to-face contact.
Absolutely.
Because that's the other piece of it is the days of thinking you're going to find things posted. And, oh, by the way, many times those things that are posted aren't openings either.
Exactly.
They're placeholders, your window dressing, whatever you might want to call it, that they go through. Or it's with organizations that already have an internal candidate selected and they need to go through some sort of external facing process because it's in their handbook.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
So, again, it comes back to, for the job seeker, is what problems are at the companies or the organizations I'd like to be part of that I could bring a solution to. And to, like you said earlier, the case of the administration folks, to not underestimate the impact you have, but how can I portray that in a salient way?
Right. And that's some of the exercises that we do. We have them identify, you know, types of things that they have done to increase revenue, reduce costs.
Right.
Reduce cycle
times. And
those
are the kind of thing really important to portray in our resume, as opposed to getting caught in the trap of just putting your job description.
Exactly.
Because we already know what that is.
Yep.
Well, John Shattuck, thank you so much for joining us here. Again, for our listeners, you can contact John at TucsonJobSeekers@cs.com. Also see his information on Facebook, Tucson Job Seekers. And also, as we mentioned, that in motion already, but it'll continue to wrap around come next year at the University of Phoenix, a free series of 12 workshops. They're all about the idea of how to get your dream job when no one appears to be hiring, because they are, based on the success rate John is seeing that his participants have gotten so far. Great. Thank you, John, for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And have a Merry Christmas this week.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.